Recorded Books presents This Other Eden by Paul Harding, narrated by Eduardo Ballerini. From the Maine Coast Heritage Trust, Malaga Island was home to a mixed-race fishing community from the mid-1800s to 1912, when the state of Maine evicted 47 residents from their homes and exhumed and relocated their buried dead. 8 islanders were committed to the Maine School for the Feeble-Minded. I think the best plan would be to burn down the shacks with all of their filth, then-Governor Frederick Plaisted told a reporter at the time. In 2010, the Maine legislature passed a resolution expressing its profound regret. 1. Benjamin Honey, American, Bantu, Igbo, born enslaved, freed or fled at 15, only he ever knew, ship's carpenter, aspiring orchardist, arrived on the island with his wife Patience, née Rafferty, Galway girl, in 1793. He brought his bag of tools, gifts from a grateful captain he had saved from drowning, or plunder from a ship on which he had mutinied and murdered the captain, depending on who said, and a watertight wooden box containing 12 jute pouches. Each pouch held seeds for a different variety of apple. Honey collected the seeds during his years as a field worker, and later as a sailor. He remembered being in an orchard as a child, although not where or when, with his mother, or with a woman whose face over the years had become what he pictured as his mother's, and he remembered the fragrance of the trees and their fruit. The memory became a vision of the garden to which he meant to return. No mystery, it was Eden. Years passed, and he added seeds to his collection. He recited the names at night before he slept. Ashmead's Kernel, Flower of Kent, Duchess of Oldenburg, and Warner's King. Ballyfatten, Cat's Head. After Benjamin and Patience Honey arrived on the island, hardly 300 feet across a channel from the mainland, just under 42 acres, 1,200 feet across east to west, and 1,500 feet long north to south, uninhabited then, the only human trace an abandoned Penobscot shell berm. And after they had settled themselves, he planted his apple seeds. Not a seed grew. Benjamin was so infuriated by his ignorance that over the next year he crossed to the mainland whenever he could spare some time, and sought out orchards and their owners in the countryside beyond the village of 6 or 7 houses called Foxden that stood directly across the channel from the island, and traded his carpentry skills for seeds and advice about how they grew and how to cultivate the trees and their fruit. Benjamin and Patience and their sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandchildren kept more and more to the island as time passed. But in the final years of the 18th century, it was not as dangerous as it came to be later for black men to range the land. Any able-bodied adult who kept peace and lent a hand surviving was accepted. So the story went among his descendants. So Benjamin rambled around and found farms where he could help raise a barn, or split shingles, or clear an acre for crops, and came home with seeds that quickened and struck roots and elaborated themselves into the shapes of his remembered paradise. Roxbury russets, Rhode Island greenings, woodpeckers, and Newtown pippins. Benjamin Honey kept an orchard of 32 apple trees that began to bear fruit in the late summer of 1814, a decade after he planted them. Pippins were perfect for pies, woodpeckers for cider. Children bit sour greenings on dares and laughed at one another when their eyes watered and mouths puckered. Russets were best straight from the tree. Benjamin Honey surveyed his orchard in the cooling air and sharpening, iridescent, ocean-bent sunset light, the greens and purples deepening from the radiant flat daybright into catacombs of shadowed fruit and limb and leaf. It felt as if his mother were somewhere among the rows. She might step from behind a tree in a white Sunday dress that took up the shifting light and colors and smile at him. He inhaled the perfume, salted as everything on the island, and took a bite of the apple he held. On the first day of spring, 1911, Esther Honey, great-granddaughter of Benjamin and Patience, dozed in a rocking chair by the wood stove in her cabin on Apple Island. Snow poured from the sky. Wind scoured the island and smacked the windows like giant hands, and kicked the door like a giant heel, and banked the snow up the north side of the shack until it reached the roof.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?